I want to do something just a tad different today. It's all us home folk here this morning. I want to pass these out right here. What I want you to do, if you would, as I'm passing these out, Brother Shannon's going to help me catch the side over there. What I want you to do, I want you to think with me. If you had one opportunity, whether it be a family member or a friend, a co-worker, a child, grandchild, whatever it may be, if you had one opportunity that you felt most confident with of what verse you would share about Christmas and the gospel of what Christmas is all about to you, that you would share with them to help them come to know Christ in a special way, I want you to take and write that down right now for me, if you would. If you need a pencil or a pen, you just let me know. I've got a couple pens and pencils up here. Need one? Anybody raise your hand if you need a pencil? Yeah, a scripture, verse, a section, preferably a passage from the Word of God. Just take a minute. I want you to think about it. Like if you was on the street, you know, Janet and her praying, said, Lord, help us be witnesses on as we shop, as we work with our families. If you had an opportunity that you felt like this was the clearest passage of Scripture for you, there's no perfect one in the sense that just because somebody else may think this works great for them doesn't mean that that's the one that you choose to work with. So there's no, I'm not looking for the ideal verse. What is something that you would like to use if you had the opportunity to share? Just write. You don't have to write the whole verse out. Just write the reference to the verse. I'm going to write mine down. You can write the verse out if you'd like. You don't have to remember it off the top of your head. Now, it probably would be good that you do remember it, because there's a good likelihood you're not going to have a Bible in your hand if you're in the mall somewhere or in the store somewhere and you get the opportunity to be able to share Christ with somebody, or the heart of the meaning of Christmas and how you would validate that from a scriptural standpoint. Now, I tote a little Bible in my back pocket. One of these right here. You rarely are going to find me without it unless I come over here. If I'm over here, I normally have this big Bible. Matter of fact, I got three Bibles on the front pew with me today. Brother Ralph Hill, some of these other guys I mentioned sometimes, especially Brother Ralph, when you're out and they ask me to fill in, I come in with two or three Bibles in my hand. I think, oh boy, what we're getting into today. But ladies, you can tote one of these in your purse. You can, the Gideons has a little New Testament that you can use. This one right here is, it's about wore out. I've wore out a bunch of them. It's called the Soul Winner's New Testament. It's a neat little tool to use because this one here will actually walk you through the gospel. It covers a lot in steps, which what I always encourage is people have their own particular steps that they feel most confident with to take somebody through, because it's not a plan that saves somebody. Who saves? Jesus, amen? And that's really the heart of what we're wanting to deal with, is really getting the message of Jesus, giving them Jesus. Now what I want you to do, seeing that you've got that down, I now want you to write, if you want to, write your name under it. Or over it, to the side of it, on the back of it, wherever you can, if you just want to write your name on it. Then pass them to the center. And I'm going to collect them. Take your time. When you get yours ready, you just let me know. All right, this is what we're going to do. Keep in mind, what Jesus has rescued us for is to be a witness for him. Amen? And what we want to do now, and you can volunteer, you can vouch out. You can say, I'd rather not, but if you would like to, I'm just going to pick out some in here, and we may use all of them, but I'm going to read the verse and say who's it belongs to, and if you would like to share how you would share this verse with somebody, I think you'll be able to help each one of us in here today on your unique way of how you would share Jesus. If you don't feel comfortable doing it, just say, I don't feel comfortable, preacher. I'd rather just listen this morning, and that would be just fine too. But the thing is that, look, there's none of us here that are going to condemn you nor harm you in any way. All we want to do is help one another be what? More effective in our effort to just share Jesus with people of what he's done for each one of us. Amen? Okay, let's see. All right, I got one right here. It says, my most precious gift of Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but hath eternal life. Who wrote that? Janet did. How would you share that, Janet? Say you was in the mall, and you were standing in line, and somebody started a conversation with you, and you was able to lead in sharing this. What would you share with them? Mm-hmm. Amen. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's see. Who wants to volunteer? Let's do it that way. Mr. Norman, what was your verse?
The first verse in Luke.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? That's right. How God's providence works all that out, doesn't it?
Amen.
When we don't, he'll make it happen, won't he? That's right. Amen. Who else wants to volunteer? I'm giving you a shot to volunteer. Brother Shannon.
Luke 9 and Luke chapter 2 also.
Luke 2, what verse? Verse 14. So you and Bill together, huh?
I let Bill read it. I claimed it.
Well, Bill's going to have to tell his story, too.
Well, my story is this. It simply says, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
Okay. And how would you share that?
I share peace with people all the time. I see peace and stress, people in stress, and we have the kingdom peace that we can claim and give us peace. And it's something that's, first of all, it's said, do you see it on signs, and you see this verses on things during Christmas season, but it's something that we need to carry past the Christmas season, that it's peace on earth, goodwill toward men. All men, we should have goodwill towards all men all the time.
Brother Bill, how would you take that? Let's say you was at the feed store, and somebody come in there, and you was able to open up a conversation with them. How would you bring them to this place? This would be the tool you would use. Luke 2:14. Amen. The neat thing about being a servant of the Lord, there is no one particular way of taking somebody and bringing them unto Jesus. Taking them from where they are, whatever that condition is, getting them unto Jesus. And that's what he saved us for, to be disciple makers. Amen? Tell us about it, Davin. You raised your hand back there. You ready? Make a joyful noise, all ye lands. I think if I'm not mistaken, the word joyful noise there means to make an ear-piercing shout unto the Lord. A shout that pierced the ear. That's hollering, amen? But not just loosely hollering, but making a joyful shout unto the Lord that is an ear-piercing shout unto him. And if the thing is that if we're going to raise our voice for anybody or anyone or anything to that extreme, it should be unto the Lord.
Amen.
He's supreme. Amen? Amen? Amen. Somebody else? Greg. Romans 8:28, which has been quoted already this morning. That love the Lord and are the called, what? According to his purpose. And the whole reason it works together for the good is that we are being predestined, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. So all the things that are working together for the good that brings glory to God and good to men is that we're being conformed into the image of Christ. That's where we look at everything that goes on in our life. Is it conforming me to the image of Christ? Am I becoming more Christ-like? That's the key. And great verse, great word from God in any circumstance or situation to hold on to. Right. It adds credibility to the word that we give as a demonstration, but as you say, the word still has to be proclaimed because the Bible teaches us that it's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. And it's not necessarily the style of preaching. The idea is the message that is preached, that is given away, that is validated by a life that is in conformity with the message we preach. Amen. Amen. Was that your verse you wrote down, Mama Rob?
No, it wasn't. That is my favorite verse.
Amen.
I've brought me through this many times, but the one that I wrote is
55. Yeah, you can. Tell us about it.
55:16, if you like, shine before them, if they may see you before them.
Good works and glorify God. Yeah. To God be the glory. Amen. Let your light shine that men may see your good works.
That tells them that, or it something like that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know the God that I know.
Mm-hmm. Let your light shine that men may see your good work. Matter of fact, I believe in our reading in Samuel, it talked about David made a statement in David's last words that if a man is going to rule and govern over somebody, he must be like the light of the morning. Says that. And disciple makers, soul winners that lead people to Christ, are leaders who rule over people, that is, who govern, who take people and lead them unto the Lord, and that happens by letting your light shine. And that light being the light of Christ in us. That's how he shines his light. You know, what's that song we sing? Shine, Jesus. Shine. How does he shine? He shines in many ways, but as a disciple-making, soul-winner, fisher of men, he shines through his people. He unveils himself through his people. Mr. Mickey. You did, 132.
It should have been 31
and 32. Oh, it's good. Read it to us.
My comments can't improve on the word.
That's good that you can't. Go ahead, read it.
Now, this is verse 31. We're picking on Luke. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now, this is Christmas time, we're celebrating the birth. And in verse 32, he says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Who just
right. Mentioned. Amen.
I can't prove you on that.
Mm.
He spoke to
him. It's the word of God. Amen.
I pick on somebody.
Come on. See, I had his. I was waiting for the chat. I seen him digging over there getting ready. He knew it was coming. Stephanie.
Because mine kind of tags along with what Mr. Mickey just shared about that God sent the Son. Mine's actually out of John chapter 17, verse 3, and it's the words of Jesus himself. It says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And just thinking about, I like this verse, period, to share with people, but the fact that the Lord sent Jesus, and
mm-hmm.
we look at Christmas, and that he sent his son as a baby, but I like this passage because so often in witnessing people, it's all about just, they're wanting to make sure they're going to make it to heaven one day. That this passage says that this is eternal life, that they may know you. And that's the difference in knowing God,
mm-hmm.
that he intends us to know him in a relationship, not just
knowing about him.
Right. Not mm-hmm. knowing about him or making a decision, but that we experience eternal life now, not just when we die.
Mm-hmm.
And that this Jesus himself was saying that this is what eternal life is, to know the Father.
Know the Father and him whom he sent. That's right. Amen. Got it up.
I wanted to get mine next to Stephanie's because the one you gave was not mine, but it was similar. It was amazing.
Don't you like hearing that, not mine? You see, you got to personalize it, right? You got to think that this is mine. This is the best in the world, mine.
But that was my same thought. I've never used this in witnessing, you know, per se, but I happened to open to this and I thought this is perfect because, just like what Stephanie said, when you're talking to people, you're not preaching church, you're not preaching a religion, an organization, you are preaching Jesus and who he is and why you came. And it was John 6, 28 and 29, which said, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God.
That ye believe.
Believe mm-hmm. on him.
Right.
Whom he has sent. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he sent. The work of God. Praise the Lord. Mm. Anybody else? Tell us, Tommy.
I'm just thankful
maybe one day help us teach somebody.
That's right. And that's what God does with us. He teaches us so that we can teach other people. And that's what witnessing is. You take like the verse that Mr. Mickey read. You're dealing with people out there that we think that everybody's heard of Jesus, but not everybody has. Not everybody knows of that Jesus who's the Son of the Most High. And where we do is take that and help them see who he is, what he's done, and how that's transformed and affected our life and how it can change theirs as well. Some won't. And matter of fact, tonight we're going to look at that very fact that when we do unveil these things, there will be some who take it in great delight and rejoice, and it's life to them. But then there's some who that same message that brings so much life to us is a message that brings death, something that is unwanted from somebody else. David said that in 2 Samuel 22 when he says, "With the merciful you show thyself merciful. With the upright you show thyself upright. With the pure you show thyself pure. But with the froward man, the twisted, perverted man, the wicked man, you show yourself as unsavory, as something that stinks, something that is unwanted." Death is something that stinks. It's unwanted. And oftentimes that's where the New Testament says that we are the fragrance of Christ, the aroma of Christ, that God is diffusing out of our life. To some it is a fragrance of life, but to others it's an aroma of death. So you're right. Some will not desire what is there. Miss Sadie. I sought the Lord. Amen. Yes, ma'am. And freed me from all my fears. Resting in the Lord. Amen. There's a great psalm. I think it's Psalm 131, if I'm not mistaken. It's real brief. It's one of the short psalm, and it talks about God calming David's anxious heart, that there was things too high for him, too lofty for him, that he couldn't figure out. And he said, how did he do that? He just got up in the lap of the Lord. Not as a nursing infant, but as a child just seeking comfort in the lap of a parent that is going to protect them from everything that they can't figure out and understand. And praise the Lord. Amen? Aren't you glad God will calm you? You see, but we're living in a world of turmoil. And there are people out there that we come across every day. There are people out there that have expired their resources because of the season we're in. They're trying to please and get everything for everybody. They're putting things on debt and everything else, and they distraught over it. And God places you and us at times in places where we're to be light, to be that comforting, calming factor to help them, to bring them unto the Lord, and use our life experiences and the way God's transformed us to help them. Amen. Somebody else.
I use the same, started out with the same verse as Janet, John 3:16. But the 17th verse, there's so many people in this world that think that to be a Christian is there is no real joy in it, that it is all stiff traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And
restrictions.
No
abundance. Yeah.
And that it's not a good thing. They kind of shy away from it because they think that they won't have a good life. They don't realize that what they're running from is what they really need.
And a lot of times, you know the why? Because they are surrounded by people who claim to be part of the family of God that complain, murmur, and grumble all the time and have no joy in their life. No gladness in their life, and they think if that's what it's like, I don't want no part of it.
That's right. But it says in verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
Amen.
And they don't, you're right, there are so many people that not call themselves Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But do others see Jesus in us?
Letting our light shine, right. Mm-hmm.
Not where we're supposed to be.
And the neat thing is that passage that we familiar ourselves with, that Romans 8, 28 and 29 passage that says everything's working together for the good of those that love the Lord and the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew he predestined, and those he predestined he called, and those he called he glorified. You know, that passage goes on that what? The whole purpose is that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. So everything in our life, if our light's going to shine, it's because God is shaping us into the workmanship that we are in Christ Jesus to display his glory before other people. Our men in our Sunday school lesson read in Deuteronomy 28. And in Deuteronomy 28, verse 47, if I'm not mistaken, says, because you, and this was all dealing with the curse. We read the woes of the curse this morning, which was a trembling thing to read. But he said, this is the reason, because you did not serve the Lord with joy and glad-heartedness. Because you did not serve the Lord with joy and glad-heartedness, these curses have fallen upon you. And what we're to be all the time, and right now what this world needs to see, is people who serve the Lord joyfully and glad-heartedly. And joy is not based on our circumstances. It's based on something that has been founded within us. That's why Jesus said, fear not. Look, I've overcome the world. No man can taketh your joy from you. Now, you can yield it over to him, but this enemy of ours can't take it from us. He's overcome. Amen? John 6:16. Anybody else? We're getting close. We're going to be ramping up, Charlotte. I'm just going to share mine in a minute. So I'm giving everybody an opportunity. If you want to say, share with us. Come on, Brother Ralph, putting them glasses on. Mm-hmm.
But seek to follow or seek righteous faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about this time of year and the shopping and all that goes on, the average person, God never entered into it, or love never enters in the center. They out here trying to gather up all this stuff to give somebody because they were either going to make an impression or because they're obligated to something. Or they feel like they got to do this. And especially our young people have seen this all their life.
It's all they know.
They see nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
They think, well, mom and daddy or granddaddy and grandmother did it. And it's nothing wrong with it, and they want to buy their children everything they see, and they don't realize that God only got, Christ only, Jesus only got 3 years. You know, nobody and realize that he only gave one, the most important it's ever been given in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't separate society from what God expects us to do. Now, they tie a lot of it to religion, but religion and being faithful to God
is two different. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think when we see if the love for God was put into every gift that was bought in Meridian today, they wouldn't even be open this afternoon.
But they wide open.
They wide open and mm-hmm. blowing and going. But everybody is trying to pacify somebody else.
Mm-hmm. So they can fit in with society.
And God is left out.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Taking Christ out. Mm-hmm. That's right. Anybody else before we go? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
As we close, the verse that really always that sticks with me that I prefer to use, and I use it year round, but specifically in this time is Luke chapter 1 in verse 74 and 75. And I normally preface it with verse 67, which was John the Baptist's daddy. Zacharias stood up and was filled with the Spirit, and the whole essence of these verses, it says that the Lord has come. He's come to redeem his people. And in that redemption, he delivers them from the hands of those who hate them and their enemies. But he delivers them from these things so that he can deliver them to the service of the Lord. And that is the essence of the whole work of what Christ's coming is. He's come to deliver us from ourselves, which ourselves are an enemy to the things of God, from our flesh, from our fears, and the influence of a society that is opposed to the things of God. But that passage says that grant unto us that being delivered from the hand of our enemies, that we might serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. So that passage is saying that we're delivered from something, but we're delivered to something. And that something is service to our King. And Jesus came to deliver us. And that's just a message that I like to use myself. And it's neat to hear y'all of seeing what the way God's going to use you in the coming days. Because, hey, the Scripture says redeem the time. Amen? And what is that word? The word redeem there. Redeem the time means take advantage of every opportunity that God's given. Take advantage of every opportunity that God affords you. The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. And that is saying the diligent take those desires and act on them. And we all have desires to see people comforted, taken care of, light to shine, sharing the message so that they're not caught up in society's flow, but looking unto Jesus, not religion, but a relationship with him, eternal life with him now and forever. And that takes a thought process where you're planning, you're prepared. And when I'm standing in line at Walmart, or I'm standing in line at Winn-Dixie, or I'm standing in line at this place or that place, or I'm traveling from here to there, or I'm with family, whatever it is, I'm ready. I'm ready to take something God's given and the opportunity he affords, and I'm going to give away Jesus. And there's no set way to give him away. I'm just going to give him away and let him do what only he can do, because he himself is the Redeemer of the world. Amen? Not me. I'm one of the redeemed. But I'm going to give him away, and I'm going to let him do his work. Amen?
Amen?
And God will bless it in a mighty way. Mighty way. Would you stand with me this morning? Altar be open. You respond to the Lord in whatever way fit. He's spoken to you as just praying for help, whatever it may be.